attendance this morning as well. We appreciate your very presence. Thank you, Brother Montgomery, for reading our scripture on this morning. As you all know, Brother Montgomery and his wife placed membership with us a few Sundays ago, and we are just so happy to have them as a part of our church family. Just a quick word about Liberia, and I just want to encourage you, if you have not already given to that great effort in helping the Liberia churches out, I invite you, I beg of you, to please give of your means to help these people over in Liberia. Not only are they dealing with the Ebola virus, but they are dealing with starvation. They're dealing with job losses and so many different things that are going on in that country. Just on this past week, James sent me an email from another minister over there that's pleading for help so they can feed the people of Liberia. So dig deep in your wallets and give. If you've given once, give again. If the Lord so move your mind to do so. Here's a great opportunity for Northwest to show our love and care for those in the foreign land that need our help. Our scripture text, I want to reread verse number 1 of our scripture text in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And I chose for a subject this morning, run on and see what the end is going to be. Run on and see what the end is going to be. Nowhere in the Bible are we promised that the Christian life is going to be easy. In fact, the opposite is often true. In John, the 16th chapter, beginning at verse number 33, the Bible says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Yes, difficulties are going to come. Yes, trials are going to cross our path, and often we will be tempted to quit and to drop out of the race on Jesus. I want to tell you this morning that seemed to be the idea here in the book of Hebrews. These Christians were enduring a terrible time of trial and a terrible time of tribulation. In light of that, the writer is attempting to encourage these weary, hurting believers of the faith to be faithful to God and to continue to run their race. The author of Hebrews is comparing, if you will, the Christian life to a race. He is not talking about a 100-yard dash. Instead, he is referring this morning to a marathon, a race that requires endurance, a race that requires preparation on the part of the Christian. This morning, I know that I am not in the physical shape to run in a marathon, Brother Ralph. You know, with my back brace, my knee brace, and my ankle brace, hello somebody, I'm not able to run in a physical race. But I am physically able to run in that spiritual race. That all of the Christians ought to be preparing themselves to run this morning. What about you? Are you prepared to run that Christian race this morning? In a day when runners seem to be dropping out on every hand, there are times when it's easy to become discouraged while we are running our own race. When trials come, there may be the temptation to drop out of the race and let others do the running for you. This morning, I want to help us to stay in the race that we are running. And I want to share some steps with you that are given in these passages of Scripture that will help you and me to run the race that we are in this morning. And I do not know what you are facing. huh? This very moment as you run your race. But I do know that these things that are revealed in these passages of scripture, huh, will help us to be runners who are pleasing unto the Lord our God. As the Lord gives me liberty, allow me to share with you some steps to help you to stay in the race that would enable us to run on and see what the end is going to be. My goal in preaching this message this morning is that when we reach the end of our race, as Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and the verse is number 7, the apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. We ought to be able to say that like Paul this morning, when we have finished our race. But as we go through this lesson this morning, I want us to consider the saints that have run their race ahead of us. As the author begins this chapter on this morning, he draws our attention back to chapter 11 of our text, of our book of James, where he mentioned many of the great heroes and heroines of the faith. These people are the great cloud of witnesses this morning that surrounds us as we run our race. Three truths about these witnesses can give us encouragement this morning to run our race. Number one, we know that they have run their race. Huh? These people who ran the race they have been given. They ran the race that they have been given. They did not run perfectly. No. But they ran. Huh? They did not quit until the race was finished. They endured unspeakable pain. And they are enduring unspeakable suffering, but still they ran this morning. Huh? Now just imagine, if you will, them seated in the grandstands of life and observing the race that we're running this morning. In doing so, they stand as a great encouragement and a challenge to you and me to run on and see what the end is going to be. If these people this morning could run their race, so can you and I. Huh? None of these women, men and women were perfect. None of them were extraordinary people, but they ran their race. They were merely common men and women who evidenced a profound faith in God. If they could live for the Lord, if they could serve the Lord, then you and I can live and serve the Lord as well. Number two, they ran. Because they run their race, they're going to receive their reward. Oh, yes. These people ran their race, and now their soul has gone back to the Lord. And they are waiting for their reward, and they are waiting for that time that they can rest in the Father's presence. Because they ran well this morning, they will receive their reward. The prize is theirs because they ran, and they ran well. Again, this should give us encouragement to run for the Lord. When the race down here is over, we will go to be with Him, where we too will receive the reward that we'll earn during the course of our race here on this earth. We ought to have that expectation of Paul. When Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, and the verse is number 8, Paul said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. He said, and not for me only, but for all to all of them that love his appearing. And thirdly, they have revealed that God is reliable. Huh? The greatest encouragement that you and I can have, that we can derive from these saints, is the fact that they are proof positive of the reliability of God. If God took care of them, if God honored their faith, if God sustained them and kept them and used them and blessed them and got glory from their lives, then He would do the same thing for you and me on this morning. When the Bible calls them witnesses, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are watching every move we make. It does mean that they are witnesses to the faithfulness of God. What it means is that they ran their race, and so can you and me. And since God knows no respect of person, he will be with you, just as he was with Moses and Abraham and David and any of those great heroes of faith. God, this morning, is absolutely dependable. He says in Hebrews 13 in the verse in number 5, he said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never what? Leave you nor forsake you. Yes, we are to consider the saints this morning, but not only should we consider the saints this morning that have gone on before us, but we need to consider ourselves. Huh? We must make preparation. Do you hear what I'm saying? When there is a race to run this morning, Northwest, the wise runner must make careful preparations. Huh? The same is true in a spiritual race as well. We will never reach our full potential for the Lord until we are willing to make some preparation. We are willing to make some sacrifices that are necessary to run our race. Say amen if you can. We need to lay aside, the writer tells us, lay aside all weights. This refers to a runner making sure that all of that extra weight is removed from his body. Now you know, and I know, that a 300-pound man is not ready to run a marathon. Say amen if you can. He's not ready to run a marathon. In the spiritual arena, this refers to anything that hinders, our walk with God. It speaks of things that are innocent in and of themselves. But when they slow you down, when they slow down your Christian race, it's time to remove those weights. The list of things that could be, that are endless, that we can list, but here are just a few things that can weigh us down. Weights that would easily beset us. Seeking entertainment instead of fellowshipping and communing with God. Seeking possessions and things of the world instead of seeking God. Giving our attention to things like music and television shows and movies and those things that does not focus our minds on God could easily weigh us down. In short, this refers to anything that does not build us up or make us stronger in the Lord. These things can weigh us down. Anything that does not build us up in the Lord is a weight, it is a hindrance, and it should be removed from our lives. And then the Bible says that we need to lay aside all sin. Next, the author encourages us this morning for the reader to get rid of besetting sins. This refers to sin that tend to cling to us, that tend to distract us and entangles us and trip us up as we run the Christian race. This is a picture of a man trying to run in a long robe. You know, in the days of old, when they wore those long gowns. Now, do you know that a man that's running in a garment like that cannot run or waste well, can he? Because if being so long, it's going to do what? It's going to trip him up, isn't it? Huh? He's going to trip in and he's going to fall out of the race. There are many sins that could be mentioned at this point, but the idea in this verse is that particular sin which trips you up. You know where you are weak this morning. There are sins that do not tempt you at all, but there are others that are a constant source of temptation in our lives. This is what the writer is referring to here. Whatever that sin is this morning, Northwest, it must be stripped off. It must be avoided at all costs. Else it will entangle you. It will trip you, and it will prevent you from finishing your race. Look what the Roman writer says in Romans 6, and the verse is number 12. Roman writer says in chapter 6 and verse 12, says, let not sin what? Therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Yes, we need to run on and see what the end is going to be. You and I, as the writer keep on teaching this morning, we need to run with patience. Huh? Here is a picture of a runner selling in for the long haul. However, it is not a picture of sitting back and waiting to see what will come our way in life. No, no. It is an active word that speaks of a person who has a spirit in him that he stands up and faces the trials of life. It goes forth and run at trouble. Huh? He conquers it and overcomes it in the power of the Lord. He is able to face his trial because he knows that the Lord has brought him to it for his good and for God's glory. The Roman writer says in Romans 8 and verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for what? For good. To them that love the Lord. To them that are called according to his purpose. This merely teaches us that the Christian race, Christian runner, has endurance. Huh? It tells us that the Christian runner has a little grit. He stands strong in the Lord and he runs his race. Look what the Corinthian writer says in Corinthians 15 and 58. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in who? In the Lord. So yes, we need to run on and see what the end is going to be. Notice that the wording, the race that is set before us. We each have our own race to run this morning. Huh? And this challenges us to remember a few things because we have our own races to run. We each have our own race. That is, you cannot run in my lane. And I cannot run in your lane. And I am convinced this morning that the cause of Christ has been hindered by many who refuse to run in their own lane. Hello, somebody. And they end up hindering everyone around them. We are not in competition with one another this morning, but we are on the same team. My job isn't to outrun you. My job is to run for Jesus, the race that he has planned for me to the best of my ability. Our course has been individually designed. The race you are running was specifically prepared for you. The best thing that you and I can do is run the best God-given race that we can run. We must guard our priorities this morning. Notice verse 2 of our text. Verse 2 of our text tells us that we are to run looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Plainly put, that means that we are to use Jesus as our focal point while we run our race that has been given by God. Huh? You see, he ran his race, talking about Jesus, and he ran his race well. He finished the course that was laid out for him, and now he stands as the supreme champion in the race of life. In fact, he is the race's judge. The race's judge was the man who called the race. He decided who was qualified and who was running well. While we run, we must not look at the other runners. Huh? Doing so will cause distraction. Doing so will cause defeat if we are trying our best to look at the other runner instead of focusing our attention on Jesus. We must not look at our circumstances. Doing so will result in distraction and it will result in defeat. Our eyes are to be on the one who started us on this race. Huh? Our primary duty while we run is to look to him. Anything less will spell disaster for the Christian runner. So yes, we need to run on and see what the end is going to be. So after we have considered the saints, we have considered self, then we need to consider the Savior. Huh? We need to consider the Savior. As we run, as we look to Jesus, the author goes on to tell us several things about his race that we ought to look to that will help us as we run the race that you and I have been assigned. His was a race that began in poverty and ended in pain on the cross. His was a race that led him around a track lined with hatred. A tract lined with bitterness, opposition, and desire to see him dead. His was a race that set the perfect example of how a race should be run. His was a race in which he never faltered. He never lost sight of his goal. And he never quit running until the goal had been achieved. When you feel like quitting this morning, Northwest, just look to Jesus and consider the race he ran for you and me. Then you need to run, Christian, run. Run on and see what the end is going to be. What was Jesus' reason this morning for running his race? The Bible tells us here that Jesus ran for the joy that was set before him. Let me ask you this morning, where is the joy in going to a cross? Where is the joy in dying like a common criminal? Where is the joy in being rejected by the people that he loved? Huh? For Jesus, the joy was in what would happen when he finished his race. Hello, somebody. For him, the joy was the day of redemption that would bring about what? Salvation to all believers. The joy was the day when he would be in heaven with the redeemed of all ages. The joy was the day when he would reclaim the glory he had shared with the Father from eternity past. The joy was the day when there would be a new heaven and a new earth where all the redeemed would be worshiping the Father. His was a day when salvation would be ultimately completed. Sin forever destroyed, Satan forever banished, and perfect righteousness would rule in every heart. That was a joy that Jesus had. That's why Jesus ran this morning. He was able to look past the cross. He was able to despise the shame this morning. He was able to think beyond everything that he called upon to face in this world. And most of all, he was able to see you and me. Huh? He ran that race for you and me. We are what motivated the heart of the Savior to go to that cross and die this morning. That's why you and I need to run, Christian, run. Run on and see what the end is going to be. We need to come to the place where we are able to look beyond the situation and circumstances of life. Huh? And envision that day when we too will be home with the Savior. Oh, what a day of rejoicing there will be. Glory, hallelujah. Yes, that should give you and me that second wind that we need to run on and see what the end is going to be. And then we need to consider his reward this morning. Jesus ran well. And when he finished his race this morning, Northwest, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. On his throne. You see, Jesus knew where he was headed, huh? And that made it easier for him to run his race. Do you know where you're headed this morning? The same is true for you and me. When we are able to get that heavenly vision, it makes the race more bearable. And you all know it's all a matter of perspective anyway, isn't it? Huh? But all of that, we need to consider his resolve. Look at verse number 3 says of our text. It tells us that Jesus endured much to finish his race. Northwest, friends, family, and loved ones. He suffered more than you and I would ever grasp or imagine this morning. Look at what he went through during his lifetime. He was born to an unwed mother, Matthew 1. 18 and 19. He was born in a stable. His life was threatened as a baby. His birth was a cause of terrible suffering. Huh? He had no home or place to lay his head. He was hated and opposed by others. He was charged with insanity. He was charged with demon possession. He was opposed by his own family. He was rejected, hated and opposed by the audiences who came to hear him speak. He was betrayed by a close friend. He was left alone, rejected and forsaken by all of his friends. He was tried before the high court of the land and tried for treason. He was executed as a common criminal by means of crucifixion. And let me ask you the question this morning. Have any of you ever suffered that much? Huh? I dare say not. That is why we are told, compare our suffering with his when we feel like giving up. Hello, somebody. He endured until the end, so that we might be saved. He stands as our example this morning. Therefore, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Run on, Christian, run. Run and see what the end is going to be. You see, Jesus has already ran across around the track. And that's why he's able to help us this morning to run our race. He said in Hebrews 4, and the verse is number 15. He says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. How is your race progressing this morning? Do you need the encouragement this morning? Let me challenge you to get your eyes back on Jesus. Run and see what the end is going to be. Stop looking at the other runners. Stop looking at the circumstances by which you are running. Look to him this morning. Get rid of those weights. Strip off those besetting sins and make up your mind to run your race with patience. Run on and see what the end is going to be. And as you run this Christian race, yes, we are going to become weary. We're going to face criticism that can cause us to become weary. No matter what the work of the Lord in the Lord's vineyard does, there's always going to be somebody ready to say, we don't do it that way. Amen. We never done it that way. But let me tell you something. You just run on. Amen. Run on and see what the end is going to be. We can fight the tendency to become weary in well-doing. How can we fight that tendency of becoming weary? Well, we must focus on our eternal reward, which you and I will reap if we faint not. Sow some good seed. Galatian writer says in Galatians 6 and verse 9, and let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Paul proceeded that verse by saying in verses 7 and 8, he said, whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows in his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. This is a foundational law of nature, everybody. What we sow is what we reap. You plant beans, peas, corn, weeds, that's what you're going to reap. Paul is saying here that if we do not grow weary but continue to sow good works, we will reap what? Eternal life. Paul is not saying that we earn our salvation by good works, but rather he is saying that where we spend our eternity will determine what kind of seed we're sowing. We must focus on our service to the Lord and ignore the ones around us who are not working on and hindering us in our work by their criticism. Paul stated in 2 Thessalonians 3, and the verse is 13. He said, as for you, brother, do not grow weary in doing good. He preceded that admonition with an indictment in verses 10 through 12 for those in Thessalonica who were not working. He said, for even when we were with you, we will give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him what? Let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such person we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. In other words, Paul is telling these busybodies in Thessalonica to shut up and go to work. At the same time, Paul admonished the faithful to not allow laziness of others to encourage them to good work. You know, I'm a history buff. I'm a Civil War buff. And I remember something that Abraham Lincoln said in the long ago. Abraham Lincoln said, I do the very best that I can. He said, I mean to keep going. If the end brings me out all right, then what is said about me won't matter. He said, if I am wrong, 10 angels swearing I was right won't make a difference. Huh? As I stated earlier, we must focus on the examples that Jesus, who endured in the face of great hardship for the joy that was set before him. The Hebrew writer says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endureth from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In our Christian life, we will encounter hardship. We're going to encounter hostility. But we must remember that Jesus endured far more than you and I can ever imagine this morning. Huh? Far more than you and I can ever imagine. So like Jesus, we can have that joy and expectation of a life with God. Paul expressed the same idea in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 and 17. He says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer nature is what? Wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And with that in mind, you ought to be able to make up your mind to run on, and see what the end is going to be. The Bible recognizes that God's people sometimes get weary. Yes, it does. They get weary when they do not see observable results of their work. They get weary when they see people around them who are hindering the work by their criticism, making the task of the working Christian even harder. They get weary when they can't keep up with the Joneses. Well, let me tell you something this morning about the Joneses. The grass may be greener at the Joneses' house, but I guarantee you their water bill is higher than your water bill. You'll get that in a minute. But there are ways to combat all of this weariness and all of this discouragement. First of all, we must focus on our reward. Secondly, we must focus on our work and not the lack of work and criticism and blessing of others. Thirdly, we must focus on the example of Christ who has gone on before us and set a great example for you and me to follow. Having done that, we need to follow the admonishment of Paul in Galatians 6 and verse 10. Paul says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those who are what? Of the household of faith. Huh? Yes, Christian, let us run on and see what the end is going to be. And if you are not in the Christian race this morning, oh, I beg of you to join us here at Northwest and run, Christian, run. Run on and see what the end is going to be. And as that old gospel song said in the long ago, save me as I am. Just as I am, let me hear your voice. Just as I am, let me be your choice. And then he said, now if you want to know what the Lord can do for you, if you want to know that the Lord can make a way in your life, huh, to help you to run your race, that other song said, like a ship that's tossed and driven, battered by an angry sea, when the storms of life are raging and their fury falls on me. He said, I wonder what I have done that makes this race so hard to run. And then I say to my soul, take courage. The Lord will make a way somehow. I try to do the best in service, try to live the best I can. And when I choose to do the right thing, evil is present on every hand. I look up and wonder why that good fortune passed me by. Then I say, so be patient. The Lord will make a way somehow. Often there is misunderstanding out of all the good I do. Go to friends for consolation and find them complaining too. So many nights I toss in pain, wondering what the day will bring. But I say to my heart, don't worry. The Lord will make a way somehow. Yes, he will make a way. You can know assuredly this morning that the Lord will make a way in your life and help you run this Christian race this morning. You can do that this morning by becoming a child of God. You can do that by hearing the word of God, believing his word, confessing Jesus as the Son of God. Repent of your sin and be baptized. That for the remission of your sin. And then as the song, the title of our lesson this morning, oh, I got to run on and see what the end is going to be. I got to run on because we know that time ain't very long. I got to run on and see what the end is going to be. The song said, Jesus is coming to this world again. He's going to judge the hearts of men. He may come in the morning. He may come at night. Have your hearts ready. Everything will be right. My Lord said before the end of time, he would give his children a sign that there'll be wars in countries, wars in your home. And then you know that time ain't long. We better get right. Serve the Lord, serve him in truth and spread it abroad. For he promised the Lord if we free our souls, then we would always be ready to go. So run on, Christian. Run on and see what the end is going to be. Have you ever been down to your last dime, the song says? Lost with no direction and hoping to find peace and joy for your lost soul? God said, don't worry. In the end, you'll reach your goal. Run on. Run and see what the end is going to be. I know you've been running for a very long time, but don't give up. Jesus, keep Jesus on your mind. It may be dark, but he is the light. Just trust in him and he'll make all things right. Yes, believe in him. Run on. Run and see what the end is going to be. That's my message. We need to stay in this Christian race. We need to run and see what the end is going to be. And I want to encourage each and every one of us this morning. Don't give up. You stay in this Christian race. Somebody may say something or do something to cause you to stumble. But you stand back up and you keep on running. Because you have a greater goal. And that is to get to heaven to see Jesus. So you run on and see what the end is going to be. And when you feel like you're getting tired, you just remember what Jesus went through. All that he had to endure. And the joy it brought him to save you in the end. Jesus ran his race. Those saints that have went gone before us have run their race. And now they are waiting for their reward. If you run your race, just like the Revelator said in Revelation 2 and verse 10, if you be faithful unto death, oh, you're going to receive that crown of life. Run on, Christian, run and see what the end is going to be. If this lesson is for you this morning, I beg of you to come. Come right now as we stand and sing the song of encouragement. Just imagine when your race is over.